When you think of exceptional social skills, I'm sure the first person you think about is a software developer, right? Well, maybe not, but today we have a true black swan on the show, a gentleman that is not only brilliant when it comes to technology, but also pretty amazing when it comes to people as well. Today I had an awesome interview with Payam Pakmanesh. Payam has a blog and a YouTube channel that's dedicated to teaching soft skills to millennial techies. We had an incredible conversation about why the tech industry needs a social skills revolution, the balance between being prepared and winging it during social situations, and some of the biggest communication mistakes that he's witnessed as a bi-coastal software engineer. I'm sure that you'll enjoy this conversation. I know I certainly did. So sit back and relax. Hello, everyone. Today, I am extremely excited. We've got Payam Pakmanesh on the show. Payam is a bi-coastal software developer that recently started a blog, payampakmanesh.com. I will spell that for you. Links down below. And it is all based around teaching soft skills to millennial techies. He's been creating some incredible content and teaching some of the most brilliant technological people how to be just as brilliant in real life and face-to-face interactions as they are at entering code and fixing computers. He's got his own YouTube channel, The Payam Show, with new videos every Monday, and his playlist, 60 Second Soft Skills, has been gaining some massive traction. So we're super excited to have him on the show today. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me, Brandon. Excited to be here and finally get this done.
Absolutely. So in your own words, if you don't mind, could you tell everyone a little bit about who you are and what you do?
Oh, man, you want me to top your intro? So, yeah, you're spot on the money. Been living between San Francisco and New York for the last 3 years. I was formerly in sales and in finance for a long period of time. Made the transition into coding about 4 years ago and quickly noticed that there's a void of just good people skills in general. So that's what kind of was the genesis of creating this project. And, you know, I'm excited to just put the content out there and hopefully create content that's engaging and funny and something different that people can use and apply to their life right away.
I totally agree. You know, they're some of the software field in general, they're brilliant people, but because they sit in front of a computer all day, they don't have those face-to-face skills. Like you said, when you're bringing in a sales background to use that.
Right. I mean, that's sort of the catch-22 is how can we expect someone to be really good at coding or IT or editing? How can we expect them to be great at face-to-face when they also need to be great in front of the computer. So having that expectation needs to be balanced. And it is a challenge because these people have been in front of the computer their entire life. While we were out socializing, they probably were working hard at their craft. And now here they are kind of like, well, what do you expect me to do? I've been in front of a computer my entire life. So that's the disparity there. They know that, we know that. But I think the problem is that from what I've seen, a lot of people just don't even know that the problem exists. So it's sort of I think they know that they can fit, that they need it, but they don't think it's as big of a problem as it really is. Let me put it that way.
I totally agree with you. And I think the biggest thing is, you know, they may be brilliant, and a lot of them, they say, well, I'm going to work hard. My nose is to the grindstone. I'm going to let my work speak for itself. But you're leaving time, money, positions, moving up the ladder on the table, because even if they just implement a little bit of soft skills with the upper management, it's going to pull them up the ladder that much quicker.
Totally. And, you know, it's funny because when we do interviews here, we, you know, we'll ask technical questions and then we'll ask a very soft skill general question like, why do you want to work here? Or why do you want to work at XYZ? And I find that a lot of times people will just say, well, I really want to be a coder and I really want to build cool stuff, but they don't have the intuition to connect what they want to do with the company that they want to apply to, which to me is just very, it comes very natural. And, you know, having that sort of IQ to know what you're supposed to speak about and adapt your style of conversation to the people you are talking to, that is also another powerful technique that other people can use. And you'll see that it can help you out down the road.
I love that you brought up IQ, because something that we've been playing with a little bit is what we call PQ,
Okay.
Everyone knows IQ, which is, you know, your intelligence quotient. Within the last 15, 20 years, there's been a big shift of focusing on EQ, which is the emotional
quotient. That's true, right?
And so what we say is IQ plus EQ equals PQ. And PQ is the personality quotient.
Okay.
Taking that emotional intelligence, being, you know, being able to notice how other people are acting, what's their personality type, taking your intelligence and adding that together so that you can figure out on an individual level what's going to motivate this person or how do I need to talk to that person. And so kind of breaking it down that way so it adds up. Just something that we've sort of been playing
with. I love it. You created your own acronym. Looking for you guys. No, that's catchy too. Sometimes I'll refer to it as like social wit or social charisma, or I'll just be funny. I'm like social architect. I'll just start making stuff up. I don't even know. So whatever floats your boat, I guess.
That's awesome. So now, one thing that I think is great here. What do you think are some of the biggest communication mistakes made specifically in this soft skills arena for techies?
Right. So I believe the biggest mistake that I see is people don't seem to know their audience well enough. They speak in the same language to product managers, to developers, to CTOs, where really you need to cater the language. And we sort of alluded to that earlier. You need to cater the language and how you are articulating your sentences to that specific person by understanding their background, their experience, you know, how much time they have to talk about the subject. So really putting yourself in their shoes gives you the best chance to say what you need to say efficiently and concisely to come off and get your message across.
I totally agree. And you know, the saying used to be, you need to walk a mile in someone else's shoes. But in today's society where everything's moving so quickly, we're so siloed in our own little worlds, all it takes is 5 seconds or 10 seconds to put yourself in someone else's shoes. And you're going to make that social connection so much faster. It's not as much effort as I think a lot of people place on it. It's not as hard as what people think. It's just that concentrated effort to do it.
Yeah. And you know, In tech, in the day-to-day work life, we use chat a lot or email. And, you know, as I'm sure we've all been there, with texting, we'll text someone and it can come off completely different to the other person. The same goes with chat and email. And what I've noticed is that even for very surface level conversations, people will just go straight into asking what they need or what they need to talk about. And they don't just take 30 seconds to maybe build that rapport with, you know, how was your weekend? Where'd you go? Where'd you go with the kids? Did you walk with, you know, just these small mundane conversations, I believe carries a lot of weight to building a great relationship with your coworkers and just, you know, creating that sort of overall skill set.
I totally agree. And I think one of the things people don't know how that back and forth, or they hate small talk and they just want to skip past and be, well, let me get right to the point. And especially when you have a multi-generational workplace, you've got to think about how all of those people communicate on different levels. And whether you hate or love small talk, a sentence or one question is going to make a big difference between you're always a person that goes in for an ask, or you're the person that asks two questions about how your weekend went.
Yeah. And I definitely believe small talk is very, very important, but there is sort of that misconception that they have to talk for 5 minutes when really you could just say a word or two and that's good enough. That's good enough to start with. And then you can gradually increase it from there.
That's it. And I think one of the things that, you know, we've coached a lot of people too. We work a lot with software, not necessarily software engineers, but tech associated.
Right.
It's getting out and practicing in low stakes environment where you've got nothing to lose. So yeah, you don't want your first conversation to be with your supervisor or the CEO, but say hello and ask a question to the grocery store clerk or the bank teller, or say hi and read someone's name tag when you go through McDonald's. Like just those little things where it doesn't matter, to practice so that when it comes to a big conversation, you are more confident.
That's a phenomenal point, Brandon. You know, I literally just wrote an article on this about how you can virtually guarantee your success by starting at a very micro level. And, you know, to your point, just have these small conversations that really don't matter. The person is going to forget about you 40 seconds after you leave. And, you know, like you sort of build up your confidence that way. But if you go for an all or nothing approach and you're trying to go have this amazing conversation with the most attractive woman you've never met when you're having trouble talking to the McDonald's cashier, yeah, you're gonna get feel dejected and you're gonna give up because you went from A to Z without going, you know, through the following steps. So completely agree with you on that.
I totally like that. And then one of the things that I like, especially within the tech field, is I don't think people realize that just adding in a little bit of this soft skills, knowledge, or education, you're going to move up the chain. You're going to get noticed so much more than if you were in a sales environment or an HR environment where that's expected. So can you talk a little bit about why you think techs can use this so much to their advantage?
Yeah, I think anytime you want to move up career-wise or just grow within a company or just even for yourself, you have to be able to work with other people. So that means communication skills, adaptability, collaboration, conflict resolution, which is very difficult if you've never gone through that process. That's a very hard problem for people. And, you know, I think to move up that chain, you can accelerate that process by working on your soft skills. Whereas if you are sort of void of them, then you're going the long route and, you know, eventually, until you keep practicing, you will never really get good at it. This isn't something that you can just pick up a book and read. To your point, you have to just go out in the real world and practice, practice, practice. And, you know, you're going to go through that sort of rejection phase of, you know, and the inner you is going to beat yourself up. But you have to know that in the long term, that's eventually going to go away.
That's it. You know, you got to work smarter, not harder when it comes to people. You can
totally
let your work show for itself, but when it comes to the actual face-to-face interactions, just play it smart. Play to people's emotions, play to what they like, and you're going to be the go-to person.
Yep. Spot on the money with that one. Totally agree.
So now, what is your take on, especially within the soft skills arena, being prepared, say like question, you know, openers or witty jokes or whatnot versus going in and just winging it and hoping for the best?
Yeah. So I believe there should be a mixture of both. I think it is good to sort of have predefined or templates, if you will, of things that you can talk about with people, especially if you're just starting out. But I also believe that there is something to say about having the ability to think of quick remarks on the spot, you know, comebacks, if you will, or, you know, how to engage with someone very quickly. So I believe there needs to be a mixture of both, because really you can never always be prepared for conversations. You're not going to always, you know, at work you can, because you might have a routine, but outside of that, there can be other variables involved that you're not prepared to work with. So I do, you know, I even mentioned this to my friends a little bit off tangent, but I tell my friends that like to do the online dating thing. And I tell them that I really think that's a waste of time. If they want to improve and accelerate their wittiness, because that's so, you have so much time to prepare what you're saying. Whereas if you go out and just try to stir up a conversation with someone at a coffee shop, you have to be a lot sharper, a lot faster. So you develop those skills and you sort of polish that area of your life. So I would say a blend of both.
I totally agree. And I think one of the ways that someone can prepare for something like that, people overthink the opening 9 times totally. Out of 10. Like, I've got to come up with something witty or what to say. Literally going up, "Hi, my name's Brandon. I haven't met you. How are you today?" Like, that's enough to get a conversation going. And skill number one would be listening, obviously. If you ask a question, an open-ended question, that they can't just say yes or no to, they're going to give you something to continue the conversation. But then when the ball comes back to you, we sort of say that you have two roads to take. Number one, go with the story. Everyone's more interesting than they give themselves credit, but they've never thought of a story ahead of time. You know, that's where that preparation comes in. What was that interesting travel or the internship you did here or there, or whatever it is. And then the second one is, what new or interesting or different information can you add that might take someone, you know, a little bit aback? Like, we listen to a lot of crazy podcasts and, you know, quiz shows or How Stuff Works, so that we can talk about pistol shrimp or the importance of concrete or something that's going to be more memorable than just saying like, "Oh yeah, the weather was good this weekend." Sure. And so that's, you know, that's how we sort of take it, is have some fallbacks. You know, what are your go-to stories? What are your go-to facts? But then outside of that, just use your listening skills to further the conversation.
Yeah, first off, I just want to say I love the show How Stuff Works. I'm a total nerd like that. I will literally watch and I'm like, oh my God, that's how they build that. And I will, and then that's it. I don't know where that knowledge goes. So yeah, great show. Yeah, no, for me, I mean, there's a few things that I usually say, but I do agree with you that, you know, you really don't have any pressure when you have that opening statement. You just say something like, you know, how you doing? Or what are you up to? And then they will feed you the knowledge. They will feed you whatever's going on. And then, like you said, you can kind of branch off and stick to the story and sort of find things, find key statements in what they said and start, you know, zooming in on those things. And at the end of the day, if you still run out of things to talk about, you could talk about the most important thing in the world to the other person, which is them. So you could just start talking about them. You look great today. Where are you going this week? You know, people love to like talk about themselves. So that's another trick that I use sometimes if I feel like the conversation is just dying out. Or another thing that I do, I just made a video about this too, is I'll just talk about the weather. Hopefully I'll have a little more of an exciting conversation, but I feel like the weather is a very universal subject. So I try to throw that in there if it's really just dead and there's nothing to talk about. So there's a few ways to go about it.
Yeah. Compliments are key. You know, that's a quick way to get someone to like you. Yeah,
totally.
Give them a compliment, and the more specific you can get, the better it's going to come off on the other person. Anything that they've put effort into that you can compliment them on is crucial.
Yeah, because if you're just giving generic stuff, they're going to be like, okay, I don't really know if you really mean that, or, you know, what are you trying to do right now? But the more specific, I agree, the more authentic it comes off.
Gotcha. Now, outside of, you know, the ability to just have a conversation or some of the soft skills, what would you say are the top two or three skills for success in today's world?
Okay, so top two or three skills. So the first one for sure, I would say, is putting yourself in another person's shoes. So just sort of understanding their background, their context, where are they coming from. The second, and these are in no particular order, is a skill that you mentioned, which is listening. Because I do think that we can gain so much from just understanding what the other person is saying and hearing them out, hearing their story, their background, and applying what we want to say next to tailor to them. The third skill, let me think. The third most important skill, and we're talking just soft skills, right, for 2017?
It can be anything.
It can be anything. Oh, man.
Any big skills? Where's the future going?
The future? Oh, man. Oh, okay. we're getting a little deep now with this combo. Yeah. I would say being authentic, being yourself. Because I think people are trying to mimic other people's success or other people's way of living their life. But, I mean, the older that I get, the more I realize, man, we really have one life to live. I got to be as true as I can to myself. That means my quirky passions, the stuff that I like to do in my free time. Sometimes I like to be around people and talk about XYZ. Then other days I like to just go walk around the city by myself. You know, I like to do weird stuff and it may come off weird people and other people might think, oh, that's awesome. But I'm true to who I am. And, you know, that takes a little bit of time to develop. You got to have the right confidence and the right, you know, backbone to go through that. But I think being authentic pays off in the long run for sure.
I totally agree. And I think you hit on something there that a lot of what our coaching has done, especially in the soft skills arena for tech, is the introverted extroverted shift. Like a lot of tech are more introverted. They want to be by themselves. They're into their own thing. And that's totally fine. A lot of the biggest names we know are introverts because they're creating content, they're building things, but having that ability to read a situation or, you know, take that introversion, take that side of your brain and apply it towards looking at social skills as a game, as something to be practiced. Whereas extroverts, you know, they're just going to go out, they're going to say whatever, it doesn't matter, they're off the cuff, it just happens. But even if you lean towards introverted than extroverted, there's still a skill set to learn there and to manage. I think that's a big topic, especially in this arena.
Yeah, I mean, you look at someone like Mark Zuckerberg, he was pretty introverted. I think when he first started getting big, people looked and he just came off like a weirdo. I think he still comes off a little bit like a weirdo to me, just in terms of he's kind of robotic-ish. I don't even know if that's a word, but he comes off robotic-ish to me. But I mean, from what I hear, I know people that work at Facebook personally, and they say his approval rating on Glassdoor.com in terms of being CEO is phenomenal. And you know, it's something that he's worked on. I mean, so he still might come off a little introverted, but he's definitely worked on that. So, and I think that's a great inspiration for a lot of people to look at someone like him who used to be in front of the computer all the time and has now excelled and now is great at working with people. I mean, I love it. He has a policy, if it's still intact, it should be, where he sits at a desk just like everybody else at Facebook. He doesn't have like a massive office with a door, so people can just come up and talk to him, and he's open to that. And I think that's a phenomenal thing that a lot of CEOs can learn from.
Yeah, I definitely agree that the more open the lines of communication in any business, the more efficient, the more happy your employees are going to be, the more work everyone's going to get done. I think it's the biggest bottleneck in any business is simply the flow of information through communication.
Yeah, totally agree. You're right.
Gotcha. So what is new in the Payam world here, but between the blogging, the YouTube, I know you've got a new guide that just came out about negotiation and all sorts of things that you've got happening. So
Yeah. So I'm trying to do a few different things, and I'm just kind of throwing it out there and getting a read for what people like. So on the blog, I try to get a little bit more specific with tactics that I believe really work well, and you know, templates and things of that nature. And then on YouTube, I try to create 60, you alluded to this earlier, 60-second videos that I hope are entertaining and people can learn from. So I basically try to give a quick version on YouTube and then a long detailed version on the blog. I do have a guide. I changed it from negotiation. Now it's just three unique ways to get more comfortable in social situations. These are three that I believe you don't really hear very often. So that's free on the blog to download. And yeah, I'm really doing a lot of testing and just trying to see what do people like. I know that in this day and age, the attention span of people is just going in the negative now. Like it doesn't even exist. So I got to do something that's cool and like authentic and funny. And you know, half the time I'm probably not even funny, but I don't know. I'm just trying to mix it up and create variety. So that's kind of what's going on.
I like it. I was reading a stat the other day that said 2016 was the year that goldfish surpassed people in terms of memory span. Oh my, like the attention of a goldfish is like 8.6 seconds and people are now on average in like an online world at like 8.2 or something ridiculous.
Oh my, Brandon, you know, it's so fun. So in New York, the streets here are crazy and everyone's just glued to their text, their posture is just like, I don't even know. I'm trying to think of an animal with that posture. I can't think of one on the spot right now, but you get what I'm saying. Yeah. Everyone's just hunched over and I was standing on the street corner the other day and I saw people, they were crossing the streets and I would say at least 50% of them, they cross the streets with their head glued to their phone and they're just like, it's almost as if the cars don't even exist. The cars are just, they just trust the cars. I don't understand. I mean, people, they don't care. So yeah, it's definitely a problem. I saw someone passed me an article the other day, talked about how I forgot which state it was, but there's I guess some new regulation that they may try to enforce where you cannot walk and text. I'd love to see that enforced. I don't know if that's ever going to happen, but yeah.
That is wild. And you know, the crazy thing is like, so many people are glued to that device and they're just scrolling to get information, but nobody processes it. You don't really do anything with it. Your brain goes into information overload and then you look up to have a conversation and you can't think of a thing. Like you've been taking in information that you could share with someone all day long. And then when you put them face to face with someone, they have nothing to say.
Yeah. I totally agree. I don't even know where the information goes. It just evaporates, I guess.
Totally. Now, so on a bit of a personal level with you, who would you say is an inspiration to you?
So inspiration wise, I would say I really like Dale Carnegie, his book, How to Win Friends and Influence People. That's also a really good book if anyone's looking for a book recommendation. That's one of my favorites. Some of the stuff that he says in that book, it's so stupidly simple. And I read it and I'm like, oh my God, why am I not doing this? And I like the fact that they're so simple. They're not complex ideas. And it's almost stuff that we know intuitively, we just don't do. But he paints it in very, very interesting stories. And he's a true inspiration for me. Some of the stories that he has are phenomenal in terms of how he's gotten raises and how he's excelled at his jobs and got the respect of other people. So for me, it'd probably be Dale Carnegie. But I do, sorry to interrupt, I do really like comedians. So I like comedians because I think they're super ultra sharp witted, especially if someone tries to heckle them. And then I also like people that can sell really well. So these are just random people now that I'm talking about. But you know them when you see them. You're just like, damn, this guy's got a comeback for everything. So like people like that.
I love that you brought up comedians because when it comes to, you know, like someone watches a stand-up special on HBO or something and they're like, wow, that 60 minutes was, you know, you're laughing. The timing is perfect, all this. But what people don't see is that that comedian has tested every joke. They've, like we said, going back to low stakes environments, they wrote them, they tested them, they tweaked them, they changed the timing. And then all we see is the final result on a huge special. And so what people can do is, you know, take that and you know that it doesn't matter where you start. You can stumble during every conversation. But if you think of, you know, well, I told this story, they laughed at this part, their eyes glazed over at this part and they checked out, like, then shorten up that, change that section, and take that comedian mindset of how they've worked their routine into your everyday life so that your conversations can start to be as interesting or engaging as it would be to watch a comedy special.
Yeah, no, I agree completely with that. I mean, it's interesting because, so I talk a little about rejection, and I'm sure you do as well, where it's just part of the nature of you know, the learning how to get better with people. Rejection is just a normal part of that formula. And, you know, when you talk about comedians, I mean, these people deal with it their entire life. That's like their job is to get rejected. So it's always, I always find it amusing when I see someone that tries to challenge a comedian. So I'm like, dude, you're talking to a guy that he hears no for a living. Like, so why would you ever challenge this person, you know? So no, I hear you completely.
I love it. Now, I know you recommended How to Win Friends and Influence People, but do you have any other favorite books or book recommendations?
That, I say, would be the godfather of books for me. I do like, there are different YouTube channels and blogs that I'll read on occasion. But for me, I'm a big believer that when it comes to reading these things, you read it a little bit and then you just go out and practice. So that would be my bit of advice towards, if you're looking for so many books, put down the book once in a while and just go out and practice.
100%. You've got to implement these strategies that you're reading about into your everyday life. Otherwise, it's just knowledge to have in your head and it's
totally not
good. Yeah.
Yeah, I was in the fortunate position where I had a lot of jobs that put me in positions where I had to sort of get good at this. And so a lot of it I never really needed to read about. The reading does help polish things up or give you a different perspective, but you just got to go out into the real world and deal with it consistently. And I think that's the key word, is the consistency.
Gotcha. Now here's another fun one with everyone that we've interviewed. If you could have a conversation with anyone, past, present, future, fact or fiction, who would it be?
Oh my Lord. So right off the bat, the first person that I think of is Michael Jordan. That has nothing to do with soft skills, but he is like my idol in terms of from an athletic standpoint, from a winner standpoint. And I also really, really like the way he handles all his interviews. He always just has the right thing to say. And so I would say it's Michael Jordan.
Very nice. Very nice. I like it. And then final question here. This is a fun one. Is there anything that you wish I had asked, or anything that you'd like to bring as your words of wisdom?
That I wished you asked?
Yeah.
Were you ever sucky at social skills or soft skills?
Yeah.
Maybe something like that.
So tell me about awkward pie-in.
I love how you asked me this and then you're flipping it back. No, so I actually used to be really shy growing up. And when I'm talking about the age from maybe, I don't know, 9 to about 17, 18 years old. I was ultra shy. I didn't like to speak in front of large crowds or get up and raise my hand in class. It wasn't until later that I was like, man, I really got to get good at this because I saw the value it could bring in my job, in the workforce, and just in everywhere. I think I sort of saw myself in the future. And I was like, this is a skill that I got to really get good at. And, you know, luckily through through the different jobs that I had, for example, one of the jobs I did early on when I was about 18 or 19 was like door knocking. I mean, if you've never tasted rejection, just go try doing that. So that's well, that will just, you'll have this skin that's so thick after doing that, but it really propels you and accelerates that process. So yeah, I would say for about a good decade, I was really shy and probably came off a little bit awkward, but it's something that I worked on. So, you know, to all the viewers, I don't think anyone is just born with this. Maybe some select few are, but it's something that you can work on and get good at.
I think you hit on a big thing there. It's a skill set that can be learned because, you know, people look and they go, oh, they're so natural, or they just have the perfect thing to say. And I really think the natural is such a small selection of people. And the vast majority are people who decided that, like, just like you, I need to work on this skill set. I need to figure out how to get better at interacting with people, because although we are social beings, it doesn't come naturally to everyone.
Nope. Totally agree.
So what, now going back to awkward pie-in here, outside of, you know, you just saying, I need to learn these skills, was there something particular that sort of was going on or happening, but that forced that shift, or was it just a gradual recognition that you needed to focus on these skills?
Yeah, I believe it was a gradual recognition, and I saw myself, you know, being nervous around people and doing public speaking, and I didn't really like that feeling, and I'm a huge believer of self-improvement. So whenever I find major weaknesses, I strive to figure out ways to improve them. So probably a combination of both, gradually, and also just seeing weaknesses that I picked on. I was like, all right, I got to work on this or that. Sort of like bodybuilding and things like that. You know, you try to work and build that perfect body. That's what I was trying to work on.
Gotcha. And I forgot about this one earlier. This is always a fun one. What is your biggest communication pet peeve?
Oh, man. Probably, and okay, so I'm going to tell you one, and you're going to know this one's real because I haven't even figured this out yet. I'm getting better at it, but when people say or a lot.
It's just every other word as a space. It's
every other word, yeah. And I, you know, again, I struggle with this as well, but I do try to mentally think about it. And I wrote a Facebook post on this the other day just for my friends. And I was like, you know, your biggest return on investment for this, or actually, hold on, let me figure out how to articulate this. The biggest return on investment that is possible to improve in your soft skills is to just make that small adjustment and remove all the ums and us and just replace it with silence. You will come off far more intellectual than if you consistently say and and so for me, that would probably be it. How about you?
The biggest pet peeve for me, I love that you brought up the ums and ahs. I'll tell you a story and then I'll give you my biggest pet peeve. So I didn't have the ums and ahs, but I had filler words, now, right, like, and things like that. And so in my previous position, when I worked on cruise ships, I did hour long presentations, and my boss, it would get recorded. I had to send it into the office, and it finally got to the point where my boss was like, okay, look, every time that you say like or now in your presentation, I'm going to fine you $1.
Like, I love it.
Like, oh, I had a 50-minute presentation and I used 32 likes.
Oh, man.
So that was a quick way for me to cut some of those filler words out. And I think my biggest communication pet peeve, although I am guilty of this, is when people, I'm not really guilty, but I've used them, is speaking and using emojis. Like, there is no bigger degradation to the English and communication language than when it's just thumbs up or like a rocket going off or whatever it is. I'll get a message from my 18-year-old brother and it's just six emojis in a row. I don't even know what that means.
No, we're going into the emoji decade. Yeah. And it's just crazy. And now it's not just emojis. Everyone has an acronym for everything. And I don't even know if English is going to exist 20 years from now. It may literally just be pictures. We may just throw pictures at each other. I don't even know.
When Webster allowed like WTF and LOL into the dictionary, that was just the end of communication. As we
That's
know.
Done after that. Totally agree. That's hilarious.
So, all right. So final question. Do you have any words of wisdom or what would you like, you know, what's your takeaway that if you could share to a billion people out there on the planet, what do they need to know?
Yeah. So I like how you use the word billion. So I believe the biggest thing is we just got to stop overanalyzing the small, minute details. At the end of the day, there's billions of us living on Earth. We are one small dot in a sea of trillions and trillions of other dots in space. No mistake is going to stop you from getting better. It's okay. Whatever you think is bothering you or is a big deal, I promise you that it's not. The world is much, much bigger than you can ever imagine it to be. So don't worry, stop overanalyzing and just live your life because you don't know when it's going to end.
That's it. If it doesn't matter in 5 years, it probably doesn't matter right now.
There you go. That's a good one as well.
Love it. So that's all that I've got. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope that you've enjoyed. We've got a whole bunch of information. We went on a few different tangents here, but it was a blast. And what is the best way for everyone to get in touch with you, to find you, social media, website links?
Yep. So pionpuckmanish.com is the easiest way. You can also tweet me at pionpuckmanish. I'll send you all the links, but that is usually the quickest way to get a reply is through Twitter.
Fantastic. I'll put all of that in the description below. Outside of that, I thank you for being here today, and I hope you enjoyed.
Thanks, Brandon. Appreciate it.
And that's a wrap. What did you think? Let us know your favorite tip that you learned in the comments below. We would love to hear from you. It only takes a second for you, but it literally means the world to us. If you know someone who is working on their social skills, works in the tech industry, and needs a little bit of help, go ahead and send them a link to this video. I'm sure they'll appreciate it. Below, we've included links to Payam's website, his YouTube channel. So if there's something that we talked about, we tried to make it extremely easy, put all that information in the description box below for you. As always, check out our brand new program, Millennial Magnetism, helping you unleash your inner awesome in only 10 minutes a day. Don't forget, Mondays, you've got life lessons from your favorite TV shows with Sam. Wednesdays, we're always here with our expert interview series. And Fridays, we've got difficult behaviors, personality profiles, all of the technical nitty-gritty things that you can use in your everyday life, as well as all of the information you'll find at our home on the web, lifesecretsauce.com. But until next time, ciao for now.